The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit through the wilderness, being tempted there by the devil for 40 days. During that time he ate nothing, and at the end he was hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to turn into a loaf." But Jesus replied, "Scripture says, man does not live on bread alone." Then leading him to a height, the devil showed him in a moment of time all the kingdoms of the world, and said to him, "I will give you all this power and the glory of these kingdoms, for it has been committed to me, and I give it to anyone I choose. Worship me then, and it shall all be yours." But Jesus answered him, "Scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said to him, "throw yourself down from here, for Scripture says he will put his angels in charge of you to guard you, and again they will hold you up on their hands, in case you hurt your foot against a stone." But Jesus answered him, "It has been said, you must not put the Lord your God to the test." Having exhausted all these ways of tempting him, the devil left him to return at the appointed time. The Gospel of the Lord. I once read somewhere that the African lion and wildcat look very much alike, even though they are two very different animals. An old African story explains it this way. A lioness gave birth to numerous cubs, some of which were truly lions at heart, and some were not. How did the mother lion know which was which? Well, some months after the birth of the cubs, just before they were weaned, the mother lion left the den, and then, when the cubs least expected it, she jumped back in with a thundering roar, as if she were an enemy attacking the cubs. Some of the cubs stood up, ready to fight the presumed enemy, whilst others fled as fast as they could. The cubs that held their ground proved themselves to be the real lions. Those that ran away were mere wildcats. In a similar sense, testing also proves true followers of God from false ones. Under the Old Covenant, God subjected his people Israel to a big test in the wilderness, and they failed, which made a new covenant necessary. In our gospel reading, we see Jesus, the bearer of the new covenant, being subjected to a big test, once again in the wilderness, but unlike the Israelites of old, he stands his ground and he gives the enemy a good fight, proving that he is truly the Son of God. Immediately before this, of course, we had the baptism in the Jordan of our Lord. That's why the gospel began, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus left the Jordan. And at that baptism of the Lord, as we know, the heavenly voice proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." As he left the waters of Jordan to embark on his public ministry, Jesus then was subjected to this time of testing. No child of God can go without trials, because this is the means to distinguish between a true and a false child of God. As we read in the book of Ecclesiasticus, "My child, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for testing." Testing. Somehow we can understand, and we are more comfortable with, the idea of testing or trial than with the idea of temptation, but in fact, testing, trial, and temptation are all the same thing, since all are translated from the same Greek word, perasmos. When we see it as a coming from God, when we see the test as coming from God, who wants us to succeed, we call it a test or a trial. When we see it as coming from the evil one, we call it a temptation, because he wants us to fail. But both trials and temptations are experienced by us in exactly the same way, as a situation in which the opposites of good on the one hand and evil on the other are vying within us for our allegiance. And there is always, isn't there, that constant battle going on. Whichever one we decide for wins and becomes the master of our lives until we can reverse the decision. Jesus then undergoes these three tests. The first, to turn stones into bread. That has to do with how we use our God-given gifts, talents, and abilities. The temptation is to use our gifts for ourselves, for our own benefit. So if he turned this stone into bread, he would have benefited himself. And that's a strong temptation. But St. Paul tells us that our gifts, our spiritual gifts, are given to us for the common good, not just for ourselves. And later, as we know, in his ministry, Jesus would multiply bread to feed others. But he would not do it to feed himself. Do we therefore see our talents and skills, our jobs and professions, as a means to serve others, or simply to further our own ends? So that's the first test for us, as for Jesus. In the second, the devil promises all the kingdoms of the earth if only Jesus would worship him. Jesus, of course, wants the whole world to acknowledge God as the only God, and he wants the world to worship God, not the devil. Can we pursue our goals by any means whatever? Does the end justify the means? Jesus says emphatically no. He remains steadfast and faithful. He rejects the shortcuts offered by the devil. And ultimately, he achieves something far more glorious than what was on offer by the devil, as Jesus told his followers, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." In the third test, Jesus is tempted to go to the parapet of the temple and jump, and let the angels catch him, as promised in that psalm which we had just now, Psalm 90. "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." That's a slightly different translation of the same psalm. Though Jesus fully believes the word of God, he would not put God to the test. This contrasts sharply with the story of the college student in Nigeria who some years ago claimed that he was born again, and to prove it, he jumped into the lion's cage at the local zoo, believing that nothing can harm God's children. Maybe his soul is on the way to heaven, but his body that day provided an unexpected treat for the hungry lions. Note that in each of those trials, each of those tests, Jesus countered the devil by quoting scripture. And that's an important thing for us to hold on to when we are tempted. Scripture gives us a great deal of resource. It gives us an armory which we can use in our fight against temptation, because temptation is something which we all encounter. Today, then, we need to allow ourselves to be reminded that as God's children, we are indeed under constant testing. If you do not know it, then try to answer these three questions. Are you ready? The first one, will you keep believing in God whether or not you get everything for which you ask in prayer? Two, do you sometimes put God to the test and say, if you do this for me, then I will serve you, but if not, I'll have nothing more to do with you? Three, this is quite a serious one. Would you still believe that God loves you if you or a loved one contracted some dreadful disease for which there is no cure? Serious questions, but each of those is itself a test of how strong and how enduring our faith really is. Jesus shows us today that to serve God is to surrender ourselves to him unconditionally and in all situations, whatever happens. It's about letting go of control. It's about handing the reins to God. Perhaps one of the hardest things, in fact, that can be asked of us, because we all like to be in control, don't we? But that is what being an authentic Christian is actually all about. It is the difference between being a lion cub and a wild cat kitten.